The late John Lewis was passionately devoted to religious freedom and social justice, as well as the role for good that faith can and should have in public life. In 1998, Congressman Lewis signed on as board co-chair of the Faith and Politics Institute and continued in leadership positions ever since. If you ever talked with him long, you got him talking about Faith and Politics Institute because he loved what was going on there. The organization's president and CEO is Joan Mooney, and I am grateful to have her join us here today. Joan, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege to be with you today.
How did John Lewis first get involved with the Faith and Politics Institute?
Well, the Faith and Politics Institute was really founded in 1991 to be an interfaith ministry on Capitol Hill to members of Congress and their senior staff to build community. And it had a special focus on race relations. So Congressman Lewis had been a member of a congressional advisory committee, and they had asked, Amo Houghton was a Republican from New York. Mm-hmm. He served with Congressman Lewis on the Ways and Means Committee, and both of them just got more engaged, I would say, in 1997. This predates me, but my understanding is in 1997, Congressman Lewis was headed on his way, as he did every year, to Alabama to celebrate and commemorate the Selma to Montgomery March, and of course, to commemorate the date of Bloody Sunday, March 7th, 1965, when he and foot soldiers were beaten till near death on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And it was at that point where he said, hey, if you'd ever like to go to see it, I'd love for you to come along with me. So they pulled together a very small group of members, and the chairman then of the Democratic National Committee, Chairman Romer, and the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Jim Nicholson, who was an Army Ranger in Vietnam, they went with the group down to Selma. It was a small group, and it was such a powerful, transformational experience for the members who attended that they ended up doing a special order on the floor of the House of Representatives to tell their colleagues. And just from there, Faith and Politics Institute itself changed and really transformed to take Dr. King's message of love as a redemptive force, and that nonviolence is a force more powerful than violence, and that working together and seeing one another as human beings and believing in the power of redemption for one another when there are divides was worth fighting for and worth showing the example of one of the most powerful nonviolent revolutions in history.
I have to tell you that I am sitting here smiling because I was thinking about Amo and John together, and that was a pair, and they were a pair that could get things done. I know that Congressman Lewis was active in leadership at the Institute. What issues did the congressman devote his energies to there?
Well, I think all the issues of justice, whether it's racial justice, economic justice, environmental justice, all the issues, to really work with his colleagues. We're not an advocacy organization, so we don't get engaged in issues. But if you see something that is not fair, not right, that this institute's purpose was to strengthen public service, to speak up, to speak out, to do something about it. And as you know, it's a tremendous challenge in our democracy with three branches of government to get people together and to get things done. But he really felt that inspiring members of Congress to have that courage to stand up and speak out and to teach them the example of that. It's, this is why this Speaker Pelosi and many people refer to Congressman Lewis as the conscience of the Congress, because he really, over and over again, when legislative issues would come up, when values issues would come up in our society, he would stand up and speak out, and his colleagues took that inspiration from him to do the same thing in a nonviolent way. And nonviolence of action, but most importantly in politics, nonviolence in speech.
You know, I can't even imagine how frustrating the process of incremental change must have been for as passionate a visionary as Representative Lewis. Joan, I bet you know the answer to this question. How did he handle setbacks and disappointments?
You know, Congressman Lewis's spirit is, and it lives on through all of us who are engaged with him. So that's why I speak with him in the present, about him in the present, because just a very pragmatic optimist. Nonviolence was important, but disciplined. He's incredibly disciplined. Movements are dynamic, so you have to keep that undergirding of that spiritual discipline. And of course, John Lewis, trained by the Reverend Jim Lawson in Dr. King's philosophy of nonviolence and his steps on social impact, that really said, you know, he was a peaceful person in a violent world, trying to make sure that he never lost hope in the ability for another human being to be redeemed. And if you take one thing away, is he really has this indomitable spirit that should live on in us, to never grow bitter, to never lose faith, to understand that weariness might come to us, but that it's not the cause of a day, a year, a month. It's the cause of a lifetime. Until it's done, and it's done to fruition.
You know, there are people who know Congressman Lewis just as a politician, and a very good one at that. What can you tell us about the faith side of both his life and his activism?
From my experience, Congressman Lewis's political work, but his organizing work with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was really grounded in his faith. Of course, the teachings of the Reverend Jim Lawson were grounded in Gandhian nonviolence, and Congressman Lewis was grounded in Kingian nonviolence, which among the mentors would be Jesus of Nazareth and living in a loving and forgiving way. That really grounded Congressman Lewis in everything that I saw him do. And it wasn't just this external image, I think, that people see when they see him speak, and he gives remarks that have really been seared in all of our hearts, but how he treated people every day, young children, people in passing by. I don't know where he got more than 24 hours a day, but he seemed to. He cared about people so immensely that you could feel it. He was incredibly humble, but incredibly kind to his fellow man. When I've talked about him with the members of Congress since his passing, I would say he is among the most Christ-like people I'd ever met, and that is in the sense of truly loving and seeing the good and possibility in every single person, loving us like God loves us in the way of peace and love. So Congressman Lewis's legacy, I think, to the Congress and to the American people is living your faith every single day in everything that you do. And he used to, I kind of joke about it, he would have these executive sessions with himself where, like an Ignatian exam or another way that we recount our day, he would hold himself accountable. He would always be checking his motives. And if you look at Dr. King's philosophy, it is one of checking your motives all the time. Make sure that you're doing what you're doing for the goodness of others, that ego isn't involved. And he certainly lived that. He was a highly disciplined person who lived that discipline of the King philosophy in everything he did. He said nonviolence is a way of life. And to him, he was the truest example of that.
I know you worked with Congress during years in the Obama administration. What was the dynamic between John Lewis and his colleagues?
You know, it is one of being around a living legend. I think most people will say it was an honor to walk with John Lewis through the sites in Birmingham, Montgomery, and Selma. But in legislating, he was much the same. He'd always look at what does this mean? What does this piece of legislation mean for real people? So for everyday Americans, what does it mean? And he would always come back to that basic basic human interaction that he'd have with his constituents or he'd have with his colleagues. So his colleagues were in awe of him, not just for what he accomplished in the civil rights movement, but truly who he was as a legislator. You know, he would always say, keep your eyes on the prize. And to him, that meant taking care of his fellow man. That meant the human rights and the dignity of all men and women and all of us.
Joan, do you have a favorite memory of Congressman Lewis that you'd be willing to share?
I have so many, and I should have an absolute favorite. And I think it was how he inspired the next generation. When I look today on social media, Facebook, Instagram, the gentleman had selfie pictures with everyone, and it was almost as though he was planting the seeds in them that they could do what he did. Maybe not in the same way to bend the arc of the moral universe towards justice in the way that he did it, but that each of us had a role to play. And in all the engagements, I saw him with older people as respectful, younger people as respectful, respectful of them and of their power and of their ability to have maybe more courage and to step up and to speak out. He saw in every young person possibility, and he saw it in every person. So to me, all the stories that I would think of around him were really based on that engagement to inspire people. There are tremendous stories about just his willingness to forgive and how much he was moved by seeing forgiveness in other people. So in terms of forgiveness, you know, people who had beaten him, he had seen years later. George Wallace, I have a photograph of Congressman Lewis bringing his colleagues on that very first pilgrimage to meet with George Wallace and shaking his hand, that spirit of forgiveness. And of course, Peggy Wallace Kennedy, his daughter, has become a huge civil and human rights advocate because of her friendship with Congressman Lewis. And I would say all those stories about the power of forgiveness, he was moved by. We went down to Charleston in 2016 in the wake of the mass shooting at Emmanuel AME Church, and we met with survivors and family members. And after they spoke to the group, he got up and with his handkerchief out and tears in his eyes, thanked them for inspiring him with their spirit of love and forgiveness and believing that everyone could be redeemed, and that the work that they were doing was redeeming the soul of America. So he lived forgiveness as well as recognizing it in other people and elevating it.
John Mooney is president and CEO of the Faith and Politics Institute, cultivating common ground for courage, conscience, and compassion in political life. It's a great organization. Learn more about it at faithandpolitics.org. Joan, I am so glad that you were willing to come on State of Belief, because you knew the man and his heart, and the way you have talked about him, I think, helps people understand even more who this man was and will always be remembered as being. So thank you for taking this time to remember John Lewis on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Keep the faith and march on.